Welcome to the Deep Dive. We search out intriguing sources to bring you insights that will hopefully clarify and maybe even surprise you. Today, we're diving into a really fascinating intersection. We're talking design thinking, organizational transformation, and a very human way of looking at education.
Yeah, it connects some powerful ideas.
Our mission really is to unpack how real, lasting change happens. It's usually not just top down, is it?
Rarely.
Our sources suggest it often comes, you know, from the ground up, driven by empathy. And it's tied into how learning itself is changing globally.
That's right.
Our main guide here is some insightful writing from Rob Van Linde, sharing his learning journey through places like UVA, the University of Virginia, and Vanderbilt University.
And what Rob's experience highlights are these aha moments. We'll connect the dots between, say, innovative problem solving, this global shift in education, and just the power of human connection and how we learn.
Right.
It's about looking at transformation, but from a really human angle.
Okay, so let's start there. Transformation. It's a word you hear constantly, especially in business.
Well, everywhere.
But making that leap from talking about change to actually doing it, that often feels foggy, difficult.
It really does.
Yeah.
Lots of talk. Less action sometimes.
So Rob Van Linde, through his UVA experience, points to design thinking, says it's this pragmatic and deeply human way to get real change done. How's it different, though, from standard change management?
Ah, okay. That's a really key difference. Traditional change management, often very top down.
Like a blueprint handed down.
Exactly. Plan gets made up high. It's often pretty rigid. And then it gets rolled out. People are expected to adapt to it.
Whether they like it or not, or even understand why.
Pretty much. Design thinking, it flips that. It starts with empathy, understanding the human needs, the experiences behind the problem.
Okay.
It's iterative. You try things, you learn, you adjust constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's collaborative. It pulls people in to shape the solutions. Very different from just a checklist.
And that iterative, collaborative part, that makes it really suited for those messy problems, right? The ones traditional methods just can't seem to crack.
Spot on. Rob's experience points to this. Design thinking works well for what people call wicked problems.
Wicked problems.
Yeah.
Sounds dramatic.
Well, they're complex, not just hard, but ambiguous. The problem itself might not even be clear at the start.
Like changing a whole company culture. You can't just issue a memo for that.
You absolutely can't. It has to be felt, understood, co-created. It needs to evolve. Design thinking provides a framework for that kind of messy human process.
So it fosters a culture that's okay with change, maybe even welcomes it.
Ideally, yes. It helps people see change not as this one-off horrible project they have to endure,
right,
but as a continuous, natural part of how the organization works and learns. It builds adaptability right into the system.
Now, Rob Van Linde takes it a step further, which I find really interesting. He doesn't just talk about design thinking alone.
No, he connects it.
He talks about an integrated framework, combining it with agile methods, maybe using AI, and also OKR's objectives and key results. That sounds powerful, like a practical toolkit.
That is a very practical blend.
Uh-huh.
Think of design thinking as the engine for figuring out the right problem to solve empathetically.
Okay, the human focus.
Then agile methods let you quickly test solutions. Build, test, learn, adapt. Fast cycles.
Instead of waiting for the perfect plan.
Exactly. AI can come in to help analyze data, find patterns, maybe give insights you wouldn't see otherwise, both for defining the problem and checking if solutions work.
Mm-hmm.
And OKRs, that goal-setting framework, it provides the structure. Make sure all this creative energy, all this iteration is actually moving the needle on important, measurable outcomes. It keeps things aligned.
So it connects the why and how to the so what.
Precisely. It's not just about designing a cool new service. It's about changing how the whole organization thinks, learns, and adapts. It's about building that muscle for change.
So for you, the listener, the takeaway here isn't just about small tweaks. This integrated approach aims for something deeper.
Right. It's about creating an organization that's inherently adaptable, resilient, ready for complexity, because it's grounded in understanding people, learning quickly, and working together.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Now, let's shift gears a little. There's another really impressive thread in Rob Van Linde's journey.
The learning aspect.
Yes, the democratization of learning. It feels connected, actually. This human-centered way of thinking isn't just for companies. It's transforming how we all learn.
Absolutely.
He talks about U.S. universities like UVA and Vanderbilt practically opening their doors to the whole world using platforms like Coursera, EBX. It feels revolutionary.
It really is. The impact of this democratization of learning is huge. We're talking top-tier professors,
world-class experts
from famous institutions, sharing their knowledge globally. So think about that. Expertise that used to be locked behind ivy walls and hefty tuition fees.
And geography. You had to be there.
Yeah, right. Now it's accessible to almost anyone, anywhere, often for free or very low cost. It's leveling the playing field for knowledge in a pretty dramatic way.
It's like creating a global brain trust, almost.
Kind of, yeah. Making high-level thinking available to tackle big shared problems.
And Rob draws a contrast here, which is quite telling. He compares this open model to more traditional systems, like maybe in parts of Europe or specifically Germany in his example. Mm. He describes those as sometimes more rigid, formal, very focused on the official qualifications and physically contained. This new wave just blows past those limits, doesn't it?
It really does. It challenges the idea that first-class education has to be bound by physical location or a rigid formal structure. What are the implications when those walls come down?
Well, that's the question, isn't it?
You get this global classroom. The best, most current knowledge is theoretically available to anyone curious enough to seek it out. It fuels continuous learning, continuous skill development for so many more people.
So it's less about where you went to school, maybe, and more about what you know and what you can do.
Exactly. It shifts the focus towards actual skills and knowledge and empowers individuals to drive their own learning journey, adapting to changes, without needing, say, a whole new traditional degree every time. It's about agency.
So we've talked about the what design thinking transformation and the where this global open learning environment. But Rob's experience also highlights the who.
Ah, the people making it happen.
Yes. What makes this new kind of learning really work? It's not just the tech platform. He points to the professors, specifically people like Gene Liedtke at UVA and Jules White at Vanderbilt. What's special about them?
It's their teaching style, fundamentally. They aren't just delivering lectures from on high.
The sage on the stage.
Right, not that. They act more like guides, facilitators, helping students discover things rather than just pouring information in.
Okay, tell me more about them individually. Liedtke.
Jean Liedtke. She apparently describes herself quite humbly as the least creative person I know.
Ha, teaching design thinking.
I know. But she teaches with this incredible mix of, well, modesty, joy, and real accessibility. She makes complex ideas feel graspable, even exciting. She demystifies it.
And Jules White at Vanderbilt.
He's described as really pragmatic, encouraging, and he puts a lot of emphasis on building a community among the students, even online.
Interesting.
Makes tough technical stuff feel achievable, builds confidence.
So looking at both of them, what are those core qualities?
Yeah.
If you had to distill it down, what makes their teaching and this kind of learning stick?
I think it boils down to some pretty fundamental human qualities, actually. Empathy, clarity, and kindness.
Kindness. Interesting.
Yeah. It's not just about knowing the subject. It's about connecting with a learner, understanding where they might struggle, yeah. Building them up, being supportive.
And that's often missing elsewhere, isn't it? Like in a lot of standard corporate training.
Oh, definitely. We've all been there, right? Those dry, impersonal sessions where you just tune out.
Information overload, no connection.
Exactly. That missing empathy. That lack of genuine guidance, that's often why the learning doesn't stick. It doesn't feel relevant or supportive.
So the power of this empathetic approach, it's not just nice to have.
Not at all. It's genuinely transformative for the learning itself. It leads to deeper understanding, better attention, and crucially, more willingness to apply the ideas.
Because you feel supported.
Exactly. Mm. When learners feel seen, understood, cared for, they engage more deeply, they take more risks, they actually integrate the learning. It builds competence and confidence. It changes how they see themselves in the subject.
Okay, so wrapping this up then. It seems clear design thinking is way more than just a set of tools.
It's a mindset, yeah.
A mindset for transformation, deeply rooted in empathy. And these universities, these professors Rob and Linda talked about, they seem to embody that same principle in how they teach.
They really do. They model what's needed for real change, whether it's personal learning or organizational shifts.
So the model for transformation that comes through here is?
It's pragmatic, using tools like Agile and OKRs. It's open, like the democratization of learning shows, and it's deeply human. It puts empathy right at the center.
A holistic view.
Very much so. Integrating the methods with the mindset, recognizing
yeah.
people aren't just cogs in the change machine. They're the architects and the reason for it.
Right.
And Rob's reflection really nails this, I think. He concludes, when empathy is at the heart of learning, it transforms not only students, it also transforms organizations and entire societies.
Wow. That's a powerful statement.
It really is. It elevates the whole thing beyond just business strategy or individual skills.
Yeah.
It links empathy directly to societal progress.
So here's a final thought for you, our listener, to maybe chew on. Think about that core principle, empathy.
Mm.
How could focusing on empathy, whether it's in how you learn something new, how you tackle a really difficult problem at work or home, or how you lead change, how could that shift things for you? How might it change how you connect with challenges or just with the world around you?
A great question to ponder.
Definitely something to think about. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive today. We hope you'll keep exploring these ideas.